OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night, November 10th edition of the show, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm in a great mood right now because we just got breaking news just a little bit ago. Guess who has joined the Trump legal team?
None other than Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, and that is a... Let's just say it's something that the Democrats need to be worried about.
Trump has released the Kraken.
Yes. Yes, he has.
Gowdy in the house. Gotta love that. Yes. Folks, we got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. We're going to jump right in here in just a minute or two. But Diane, before we do that, as I said right at the top of the show, this is the November 10th edition of the show. That means tomorrow is the 11th, which is Veterans Day.
Yes.
And folks, if you're veterans, you want to go to rspradio1.com. You scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. You will find a link right there with everything veterans need to know.
Great.
You know, we've got that on the homepage there. We're very proud of our veterans. We support our veterans and, of course, our active military as well. But tomorrow, veterans, it's your day. Today being the 10th, happy birthday to the U.S. Marine Corps Semper Fi.
Absolutely.
That's a bunch of people you don't want to come up against either.
No, not at all.
You know, their job is to break things and kill people, and they do it well. So,
yes, they do.
Folks, a little bit later in the show, we're kind of screwing the format around just a little bit tonight. A little bit later in the show, Diane has a great—I mean, a great—investigative report. The game isn't over yet. Okay, so you want to stay tuned for that. We're going to get to that here in about 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to kick off tonight. We're not doing quick hitters. We'll have discussion after both of our segments.
Yes.
Okay,
because
so
it's, they are complementary to each other.
Yeah, they really are. And so we're kind of upsetting the format here a little bit tonight. We hope you bear with us, but that's the way we're going to do this. I'm going to kick things off with Voter Fraud, A Time to Fight.
Okay.
As the counting of votes continues and the court challenges mount, over the weekend, dementia-ridden Joe Biden was declared the presumptive winner of the 2020 election over President Donald Trump. Now, given the nature of this race and its challenged outcome, an outcome that is anything but certain at this point, why declare a winner, a presumptive winner or otherwise? Well, the answer to that is transparently simple. The liberal elite must be very nervous indeed. They must fear that their hold on the White House is shaky and may well not bear scrutiny. For the liberal elite and their propaganda arm, the mainstream media, to claim in the long run that Trump is an illegitimate president, they would have to declare Biden the winner now, or they would never be able to claim that Trump stole the election later. You see, on August 26th, some two-plus months before this election, Hillary Clinton said, and I quote, "Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is." Now, clearly, none of the polls back in August would have led anyone to believe that it was going to be a close race. Polls then had Biden up by double digits, and the mainstream media was giddy about a Biden landslide. But there sat Hillary Clinton telling us that Biden should not concede, which one would only do were the numbers clearly in favor of Trump, and that she believed this would drag out, which wouldn't be the case were the polls honest, to a point where Biden would eventually win. So, how does one win a presidential election eventually after it drags out, when the numbers on election night were going to show a Trump victory? By manufacturing ballots in much the same way as the liberal swamp elite manufactured a fake Russian dossier against a presidential candidate, and the way they manufactured a false narrative about a phone call of a sitting president, and the way they manufactured fake accounts of a sexual assault against a Supreme Court nominee. Was the fix in? Well, just a week ahead of the election, Joe Biden said, and again I quote, "Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for President Obama's administration before this, we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics," unquote. That wasn't a gaffe, as the mainstream media wants you to believe it was. It was absolutely true. When one takes the statement of Hillary Clinton near the end of August and that of Biden, that not under any circumstances should he concede because the election would drag out and eventually Biden would be declared the winner, and you combine that with Biden's statement from the end of October that the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics had been put together, it certainly seems that the fix was indeed in. You see, Biden's numbers don't come anywhere close to passing the smell test. Let's start with the campaign itself. While Trump drew crowds of tens of thousands at every campaign stop, sometimes up to three, four, even five stops per day around the country, Biden campaigned like a vegetable hiding out in his Delaware home's root cellar. When Biden did timidly step out of the basement bunker, he drew an average crowd that would fit into a minivan with room for luggage. When you have the ilk of Bon Jovi playing at your campaign event live, or the ilk of Barack Hussein Obama speaking live at your campaign event, and you can't draw more than 20 people to those events, there's no way on earth you should garner the types of cast ballots that Biden has supposedly drawn. So, how did he get those numbers? How in the world did Joe Biden find himself in a position to be declared the presumptive winner? Well, Diane, I think it would take the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that would start with something we have now known to be proven as fact, and that something is called software glitches.
Well, what a pleasant term for it, don't you think?
Yeah, glitch is my eye.
My opinion of it was a little bit lower and behind me. Look, it would take software glitches that would change Republican votes to Democrat votes, as was the case in one Michigan county where that switch was made some 6,000 times. That same software was then discovered to have been used in 47 Michigan counties, and after that came the reports that the very same software was used in 30 different states. It would take poll workers filling out ballots on site. We have video of that. And one has to wonder how many other poll workers were doing the same thing elsewhere in the nation. It would require people to vote more than once, and in Detroit, as of last Friday morning, there were 4,788 duplicate voter registrations. That's just in one blue city. How many other blue cities had duplicate voter registrations, thus potentially allowing duplicate Biden votes to be cast? For Biden to get anywhere near the number of votes it would take to be declared the presumptive winner, there would need to be numbers of votes coming in after the actual numbers were tallied to make up the difference where Trump was leading in key areas. Did we see any reports of such magically appearing in the dead of night ballots? Yep. In Pennsylvania last Thursday, the U.S. Postal Service, in the dead of night, found 1,700 such magical ballots, and all of them were for Biden. In Detroit, Michigan, some 35,000 magically appearing in the dead of night ballots were discovered, and all of those were for Biden. Wisconsin found 112,000 such ballots, and all of those were for Biden. And in total, in the state of Michigan, in the dead of night, magically, they found 138,000 ballots marked for, you guessed it, Joe Biden. Of the hundreds of thousands of suddenly found ballots around the country in key areas, how many had been marked for President Trump? Exactly zero. How does that happen? Well, that happens when one has at one's disposal the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. It's been said that there are no certainties in this world outside of death and taxes, and rest assured that should Biden voter fraud garnered numbers hold up, your taxes will be going up, and some of those voter fraud garnered numbers were due to dead people voting. In Detroit alone, better than 2,500 dead people cast their ballots. One of them was in fact born in 1823, making that potentially the oldest person at 197 years young to ever cast a ballot. So, what else would it take for Biden to make the ballot number haul he has supposedly made? It would take unprecedented voter turnout in Wisconsin. 7 wards posted 100% voter turnout. That's amazing. More amazing still is that in Wisconsin, 2 wards posted up 200% turnout. That's staggering. 15 wards in Wisconsin went for Biden by 95% of their vote, and 21 out of 22 wards were counted for Biden. Go figure. Another way to do it would to have more registered voters in your state than the state has eligible voters. Nevada had a voter registration record showing 125%. Pennsylvania showed 109% voter registration. Minnesota recorded voter registration at 107%, while North Carolina had 106% voter registration. In Wisconsin, 105%. In Michigan, 105%. In Arizona, the voter registration was 101%. And slacking at the back of the liberal swamp elite manufactured voter registrations at 95%, we found the state of Georgia. Look, you do the math. But all of that seems unprecedented to me. By the way, those figures came from the World Population Review site, which conveniently altered their numbers the day after the election. Now, it would also take a concerted effort to not allow Republicans to watch the counting of ballots in key regions where such rampant voter fraud was taking place. Did that happen? Apparently, it did in Pennsylvania, and it did in Detroit. There's never been such an orchestrated, concerted effort by one party on a nationwide scale to literally steal an election as that of what we're seeing this year. Yes, there's always been elements of voter fraud in elections, and for the most part, the target of those fraud elements have been the Republican candidates. In the past, Republicans have just rolled over and didn't take a stand. Why should this year be any different? Why shouldn't Republican Party elite just lick their wounds for the next 4 years and then take another run at it then? It's a complex question, but it does have a simple answer. This year, it's a vendetta not just against a single presidential candidate. You see, this is a liberal vendetta against the American people, against the Constitution, and against the laws that govern our elections. The liberal swamp elite aren't just trying to steal this election from President Trump. They're doing their level best to steal this election from the American people. If fraud is allowed to carry the day today, no future election matters. Elections in this country are supposed to be decided by the people, not by one party's political elite, and not by rampant orchestrated voter fraud. Naturally, the propaganda arm of the liberal elite, that's the mainstream media, continues to provide cover for the fraud by claiming there is no voter fraud, despite all the reports of it. But at this point, there are two possible scenarios. First, should the mounting legal challenges prove that the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics was indeed in play, and the numbers of legally cast ballots indicate a Trump victory, Hillary Clinton's quote takes on a whole new meaning. Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. You see, the first part of that part right there, would then pave the way for claims of a stolen election should Biden not concede to the legally cast votes. In the second scenario, if Biden voter fraud garnered numbers are allowed to stand, we'll have moved from the election process of a constitutional republic to the third world election system of a banana republic. If President Trump, the Republican Party, and the American people fail to fight this tooth and nail, if they and we fail to take a stand on the rule of law, if we roll over this time, it sets a precedent for every election in the future. It's been said that when it's time to fight, fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's an amazing thing when you look at the numbers that are being, that we're seeing, the changes in numbers that we're seeing right now. It's an amazing thing. And Diane, you're going to have a lot more on that coming up this Friday as to why some of that is changing. But as we said, we've kind of turned the format on its ear tonight. So what we're going to do right now, I know it's early, but we're going to take that bottom of the hour break right now, get a station ID in. Then when we come back, Diane's got it with an absolutely incredible investigative report. The game isn't over yet. When that segment is done, and it's a bit long, so bear with us. It's worth hearing every word of it. When that's done, then we will launch into discussion that includes both of these segments.
Yes.
Folks, you hang on. There is a lot more you need to know coming up on Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night, November 10th edition of the show. This is actually day 7 of our continuing coverage of the 2020 election. Diane, this thing is not going to be over fast. It's going to take a while. Luckily, Trey Gowdy is now part of the Trump legal team, and the Democrats have to know the game isn't over yet.
No, it isn't. And let's start with this quote by President Trump. He said on November 6th, "We will pursue this process through every aspect of the law to guarantee that the American people have confidence in our government. I will never give up fighting for you and our nation." Now, in 2016, Hillary couldn't do it. The Mueller report also failed, as did Nancy Pelosi's constant calls for impeachment. But now, via voter fraud, the Democrats succeeded, at least for the time being, in securing Barack Hussein Obama's de facto third term in office. And really, folks, that was what the 2020 election was all about. So while CNN and Fox News were quick to jump on Saturday's Biden is elected bandwagon, they ignored the fact that the news media does not pick our president, as they have no constitutional authority to do so, especially in a disputed election, an election rife with voter fraud. And while we know that the Democrats have been setting up a Trump downfall for 4 years now via stockpiling phony ballots and inserting compromised software into vote tabulating machines, we also know that in the weeks leading up to the election, the Democrat Party filed hundreds of lawsuits to eliminate the ballot due date restriction on Election Day. And in that particular quest, the Democrats unfortunately had help, courtesy of a nasty little virus from China now being politically weaponized to use against President Trump. And yet, still President Trump is standing strong, for he knows Joe Biden and crew, with Obama as their puppet master, will be manipulated into turning our constitutional republic into a socialist nightmare, rightfully not conceding the election, as nothing has been officially certified. Trump issued this statement after turncoat Fox called Biden the winner, and it begins with his saying that, quote, "We all know why Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as the winner and why his media allies are trying so hard to help him. They don't want the truth to be exposed," end quote. And how right President Trump is, for the truth involves dirty little secrets that must be hidden at all costs. Dirty little secrets the media doesn't want you to know about as the legal battles start moving forward. And when I was writing this, I'm going to give you but a few of the many dirty little secrets that the Democrats used to secure the presidency for Joe Biden. Dirty little secrets, like a software glitch in Antrim, Michigan, was found to have switched 6,000 votes from Trump to Biden, as announced by state GOP chairwoman Laura Cox, who stated that said, quote, "tabulating software glitch caused a miscalculation of the vote." In fact, 46 counties in Michigan use this software, thus raising serious tabulation issues. But even more grievous is that the same compromised software called Dominion was used in every swing battleground state, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Minnesota, with the project to deploy this software being called Project Hammer and Operation Scorecard. And now it seems that Dominion was also being used in parts of 28, but now it's up to 33 other states as well. And if reports are correct, it was used by Joe Biden's campaign itself. Interesting and disturbing, to say the very least, for that supposed software glitch could easily have been used to change the vote tallies. And a few little side snippets from Michigan include that some 35,000 Biden ballots were found in the dead of night in Detroit, with not a Trump ballot amongst them, and that the Republican-led Michigan legislature will hold hearings to consider voter fraud claims after it was found out that, also in Detroit, there were 4,788 duplicate voter registrations, that 32,519 more folks were registered to vote than there were folks eligible to vote, and that 2,503 dead people had cast their ballots, including a man born in 1823. In fact, voter fraud claims have been heating up Michigan's voter fraud hotline ever since I began writing this article, along with the fact that two observers, including Bob Cushman, an appointed and trained Republican poll challenger, who were at the TCF Center in Detroit during the absentee ballot counting process, have now produced affidavits claiming that they witnessed election workers creating new voter files with information obtained from ballots, and that computer operators at several counting boards were then manually adding those unknown and unverified names and addresses onto thousands of ballots and putting said ballots into the QVF system. And here are some dirty little secrets from yet another battleground state. This time it's Wisconsin. Wisconsin called the state for Joe Biden, no matter that Biden only garnered roughly 20,000 more votes than did President Trump, which does equate to a margin of less than 1%, which technically should have led to what is an automatic recount. And such a recount was surely needed, especially when it seems that both county and municipal clerks, as well as some poll workers across the state, unlawfully altered witness statements on thousands of absentee ballots. As per Wisconsin Statute 6.86, an absentee ballot must be signed by a witness who is also required to list his or her address. And if a witness address is not listed, then the ballot is considered invalid and must be returned to the voter to have the actual witness add in said information. However, Craig, on October 19th, the Wisconsin Elections Committee sent instructions to clerks that they can simply fill in the witness address themselves so that the ballot would not be invalidated, which of course they did, thus legally invalidating thousands of absentee votes, and who knows how many Republican ballots were part of said votes.
Well, that's a great question. How many Republican ballots were there that were part of that? Now, in Wisconsin, you have been able to ferret out a fairly, you know, and I use that term lightly, a fairly reliable source when it comes to some of the malfeasance that was going on. This isn't a guy named Bob Smith that lived down at the end of the block either. This is a guy by the name of Michael Gableman. Tell us who Michael Gableman is and why he's important in this process.
Okay. Michael Gableman is a retired Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, and he happened to have worked as a Milwaukee poll watcher on Election Day. And he said this, quote, "The statute is very, very clear. If an absentee ballot does not have a witness address on it, it's not valid. The ballot is not valid." And he added that, quote, "In defiance of and direct contradiction to the statute, the Wisconsin Elections Commission gave guidance, that is, cover, to all 72 county clerks and turned the statute on its head," end quote, because, in his opinion, they anticipated a legal challenge, thus instructing clerks to write in these witness addresses in red pen so that they, quote, would be easy to find during a recount or audit of the vote, end quote. In fact, the Republican Party of Wisconsin believes that thousands of voter addresses may have actually been changed, thus invalidating those ballots. And know that absentee ballots are somewhat different than regular in-state mail-in ballots, as they include ballots received from those currently out of the country or state, and can and do include military ballots as well. And this obvious infraction can indeed substantially change vote tallies, which has led President Trump to rightfully now call for a recount of all Wisconsin's votes. And here's an additional four secret Wisconsin snippets regarding voter fraud, with the first being that at one point during the actual counting of votes, Wisconsin had more votes cast than they had registered voters. Now add in that between 3:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. last Wednesday morning, Wisconsin suddenly found 112,000 ballots marked Biden, but nary a single one found was marked Trump. Then we see seven Wisconsin wards posting 100% voter turnout, two wards posting a 200% turnout, which is impossible without voter fraud, while 15 wards went for Biden by 95% of the vote, something that's statistically next to impossible. And lastly, a partisan split along Wisconsin's Elections Committee saw the Wisconsin Supreme Court blocking the Green Party presidential ticket from being included on the ballot by arguing that they filed too late. Thus, their inclusion would have caused over 1 million ballots from being sent out by the statutory September 17th mailing date. But the truth is that the Green Party ticket would have taken votes away from Joe Biden and given them to President Trump. And here's a little voter fraud snippet out of Pennsylvania regarding their Supreme Court, also denying the Green Party ticket from appearing on their ballots, a move which in turn dealt a blow to President Trump's reelection bid by saving Joe Biden from having to face some, quote, left-wing competition at the polls. And their excuse given? Like with Wisconsin, Pennsylvania also suddenly decided late in October to extend its mail-in voting by 3 days, which saw the Green Party candidates then logistically unable to appear in person to refile, instead sending authorized surrogates in their place, an apparent but not known to them no-no. And speaking of Pennsylvania, their multitude of dirty little secrets runs extremely deep, for on election night, President Trump had a commanding lead in the Keystone State of over 400,000 plus votes, until miraculously, hundreds of boxes of ballots were dropped off in the middle of Thursday night by Biden-stickered U.S. Postal Service trucks, with nary a vote for President Trump amongst them. And while Trump's campaign filed an emergency appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court over those late arriving ballots, and with the SCOTUS ordering Pennsylvania election officials to both separate ballots arriving after 8 p.m. on Election Day and to count those late ballots separately, it still saw President Trump's overwhelming lead being cut until his once 400,000-plus lead now saw Biden ahead. But, Craig, what do you expect when those and previously counted ballots were fraudulent in and of themselves?
Well, look, correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania, didn't they kind of dip their head in the water here and muddy it up? Because It seems to me, if I remember right, there were things going on that the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania did that allowed a lot of this fraud to take place.
Right. Well, let's start by saying that first, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court allowed those above stated late arriving ballots to be counted as long as they were postmarked by November 3rd, even in cases where the postmark wasn't legible. And the PSC also ruled that mail-in ballots cannot be thrown out or invalidated, even when the signature on the ballot clearly doesn't match the signature on the voter's application. And if that's not fraud, then I don't know what is. But thankfully, Senator Lindsey Graham is now demanding that the Justice Department and the U.S. Postal Service investigate the ongoing Pennsylvania shenanigans, including whistleblower, a man by the name of Hopkins's claim that there was a scheme to add illegal postmarks to those late mail-in ballots. And with Senator Graham saying that, quote, the expanded use of mail-in voting is making the post office the administrator of elections, not the local election officials, and that officials in Pennsylvania should take allegations by Mr. Hopkins and others seriously before certifying a final outcome. And that just might be reason enough to see his claims echoing up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Second, it seems dead people do indeed vote in Pennsylvania, with voting credits granted to registrants after federally listed dates of death, with new voter registrations being established after said deaths. And this has led the Public Interest Legal Foundation's President and General Counsel, J. Christian Adam, to file suit stating that, quote, this case is about ensuring that those deceased registrants are not receiving ballots, and that this case isn't complicated. For nearly a year, we've been offering specific data on deceased registrants to Pennsylvania officials for proper handling ahead of what was expected to be a tight outcome on Election Day. When you push mail voting, your voter list maintenance mistakes made years ago will come back to haunt in the form of unnecessary recipients and nagging questions about unreturned or outstanding ballots. And why is this so critical in so close of an election? Because as of October 2020, there were 21,000 deceased Pennsylvanians still voting, including 92% who died before October 2019. And this is no matter that under Section 8 of the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, which requires officials to make, quote, reasonable efforts to maintain voter lists, which Pennsylvania obviously did not, it affords a private citizen the right to file a lawsuit if standards are not met, which Trump's legal team is rightfully now doing. And then there's Arizona's dirty little secret. It seems the Maricopa County officials incorrectly, but I say deliberately, rejected votes cast in person by in-person voters on Election Day, rightfully leading the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee to file a lawsuit in the Superior Court for the state of Arizona and for the county of Maricopa, which alleges that numerous voters were being alerted by devices in an electronic tabulation machine to a facial irregularity in their cast ballot. Described as an overvote, these voters were, quote, induced by poll workers to override the tabulator's rejection of the ballot in the good faith belief that their vote would be duly registered and tabulated, end quote, which obviously they were not. In fact, overriding the electronic tabulator's alert automatically disqualifies the overvotes without additional review or adjudication, which led Matt Morgan, Trump 2020 campaign general counsel, to state that, quote, the result is that the voting machines disregarded votes cast by voters in person on Election Day in Maricopa County, end quote. So what exactly does this particular lawsuit ask for? Simply for the manual inspection of purportedly overvoted ballots that were cast in person, the same way that election officials examined overvoted ballots that were mailed in or dropped off. And Craig, this is the Democrats fighting against, and we are obviously know why.
Okay, so Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, you know, another one of the hot spots, another one of the places where things looked pretty good for President Trump until the fraud kicked in was Georgia. What's going on,
right,
or what went on, I should say, with Georgia?
Now, their dirty little secrets, we saw the state that should have been called for President Trump on election night still seeing election workers rescanning a number of ballots in Fulton County as late as last Friday night. And it was found that some votes were not being scanned or uploaded to election tallies. And this included provisional, military, and overseas ballots, which once rescanned all miraculously showed Biden's lead increasing over President Trump. I mean, how convenient is that? And how amazing is it that in the very state where Obama garnered 1,844,123 votes in 2008 and 1,773,827 votes in 2012, and where Hillary got 1,877,963 votes in 2016, that somehow Uncle Joe Biden got 2,449,580 votes and counting in 2020. That just doesn't add up. For how can Joe Biden possibly be more popular than either Obama or Hillary? He simply can't be. And lastly, Nevada's dirty little secrets. It seems a whistleblower in Clark County has come forward and has sworn an affidavit sent to the DOJ, stating that he witnessed illegitimate processing of ballots as an election worker, saying that he was instructed by his superior, whom he names in his affidavit, to count and put through ballots needing signature verification, even though they lack said signatures to be eligible, as well as to ignore discrepancies with addresses, has led a Trump campaign attorney to state that, quote, the affidavit makes clear that we're not dealing with oversights or sloppiness. This was intentional criminal conduct, end quote. In fact, these words from Trump campaign co-chair Adam Laxalt make matters even worse. Quote, the fact remains that hundreds of thousands of ballots have been counted in Clark County, and as a judge and the Secretary of State have confirmed, we have not been allowed to observe or change a single signature match, or challenge, I should say, a single signature match for these votes. And to those above stated words, might I add that not only was criminal conduct intended, but criminal conduct can be witnessed by the fact that everywhere votes have been tampered with, recounted, rescanned, or whatever, the lead in that state always turns in Joe Biden's favor, never in President Trump's. A red flag warning of voter fraud, if ever there was one. And as for Nevada itself, according to the Nevada GOP, a submission of criminal referral has been sent to Attorney General William Barr regarding 3,602 instances of voter fraud in the Silver State. Now add in these random snippets, with the first being that Virginia saw 100,000 of its votes being switched from Trump to Biden, with the claim that it was due to a, quote, clerical error. And second, while Republicans held the Senate and picked up seats in the House, nowhere in all those found ballots did neither the Senate nor the House shift. And while this would indicate that Biden garnered Democrat votes, there appears to be no down-ballot Democrat voting, which is not only very odd for a party that usually sees straight party line ballots, but makes one wonder just how and why such a lopsided ballot was actually cast. So, even as uncounted votes are now being found in Georgia, Nevada, and other key states, and even as socialist mouthpiece Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez continues with her threats to create a, quote, accountability list of Trump staffers and supporters, Donald Trump Jr. has promised that legal surprises for the Democrats are coming, and they started today. As he stated, that things have been in place just in case such a voter fraud scenario were to take place. And while Hillary Clinton told Joe Biden that no matter what happens, that he should not concede under any circumstances, I say never underestimate President Trump. For if anyone can turn the tables on the Democrats, it's Donald J. Trump. After all, America's future depends on it. For if election fraud wins out now, no future elections will matter.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yes, it is.
Man, oh man, oh man. Okay, look, folks, like we said earlier today, we have kind of upset the apple cart with respect to the format of the show, and we're going to take a top of the hour break here. I know we're early. It's okay. Settle down. There's people out there in Schenectady that are upset by this, I know, but it's okay, trust me. Before we go to the top of the hour station ID, though, I do want to tell you where you can find both of these articles. If you go to rspradio1.com, that's the number one, rspradio1.com, you'll find them. And I'm telling you, folks, right now, you need to go in there, you need to grab these links, and share everywhere.
Yeah, and I'll be following up on Friday with more stuff, and some of it is going to blow you away.
I just got to tell you.
And I have proof. I'm not just speculating here.
I got to tell you, folks, I've had a bit of a sneak preview. Okay, I got like a 5-minute sneak preview as we were waiting to get on the air tonight. What she's going to have for you on Friday is going to blow your minds.
Yeah.
All right? I'm just not going to tell you what it is, but I'm telling you right now, it's going to blow your minds. All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll take this top of the hour station ID break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss both these articles. Okay, voter fraud, a time to fight, and the game isn't over yet. So folks, you stay with us. There's more on Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Bankabus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sorey over there at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show, November 10th. Happy birthday to the U.S. Marine Corps.
Yes.
Semper Fi, men and women.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, there's some tough dudes and dudettes in that corps.
Yes, there is.
I'm telling you right now. Tomorrow, by the way, folks, is Veterans Day. Don't let it go by without tracking down a veteran, shaking their hand, thanking them for their service to this country. You know, sadly, we're losing more and more and more of our World War II veterans. It's not going to be many years, Diana, and there won't be any of them left.
No, probably within 10 years' time.
You know, it's a tough deal, but we thank all of our veterans on the RSPRadio1.com website. Down at the bottom of the homepage, you will find a link there for veterans and another one there for active military. But tomorrow, you want to share that link with any veterans you know. You can grab it right off of our page. You can share it anywhere. And let our veterans know that we stand with them.
Yes, we do.
Very important thing. All right, so two segments on tonight's show that kind of meld their way together. Lots of information. Lots of videos. There's three videos in Diane's investigative report. And by the way, if you go to Diane's website, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, you're not going to find this in the op-ed section. You're going to find it in the investigative report section.
Yeah, because this was more than an op-ed. Op-ed is usually commentary and opinions.
Right.
But when you load something with documented facts, it crosses over into an investigative report.
Exactly. And that's why I want to draw attention to it, because I want people to be able to find it. If they go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, it's in the investigative reports. Okay, right up at the very top, investigative reports. Diane, you've got three videos locked and loaded in this investigative report. In my commentary, I've got seven videos.
Yes.
Locked and loaded in there. It's a video bonanza in our blogs today.
Yes.
And you've got the Trey Gowdy video, and Trey Gowdy just an hour and a half ago was named to Trump's legal team. So that's very apropos.
I love it.
Isn't that great?
Love that or what?
You know, he's like a pit bull on a pork chop.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to come up against him.
Nor would I.
I mean, look, we've all seen Trey Gowdy in action over the years in the different House hearings and things. I mean, this is a guy that could open a walnut by looking at it from 50 yards.
Right. And this time he's acting as an independent agent. So, you know, when the House, the Democrats always try to shut him up, he doesn't have to listen anymore.
No. He's part of the outside counsel now. He's out of the swamp. He's back in South Carolina. And when you team him up with the likes of Jay Sekulow.
Yes.
Oh, man. Democrats got to be peeing themselves right now.
That's what I would think.
I mean, that's fantastic. Okay, so there's so many different numbers, so many different facts, so many different figures that are contained in these two articles, my commentary, your investigative report. And when you really start breaking this stuff down and you really start looking at and understanding what these numbers, facts, and figures mean, this voter fraud thing is deep.
Very deep. Extremely deep. And it's been, you know, basically 4 years in the works.
You know, you've got a fact in here. 21,000 dead Pennsylvanians were voting.
Yeah.
21,000 dead people were voting. That's a pretty slick trick.
Something. Exactly. It's true. It's true. It's their voter rolls were not purged like they were supposed to be.
gives a whole new meaning to digging up votes, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
Look at that. You look at the over-registration in so many states where they got so many more people, you know, 110, 109, 106, 105%. They've got more registered voters than they have eligible voters. Now, if you take voter fraud out of the equation, how could that happen?
It can't happen without voter fraud or voter manipulation, whatever you want to call it. Something stunk.
In putting together this investigative report, and by the way, folks, the one that's coming on Friday, going to blow your mind from Diane, okay? Blow your mind. But in putting this one together, is there any particular part of it that really, really hit you like a ton of bricks?
There's too many parts that hit like a ton of bricks. That's the problem. Because the amount of fraud that has gone on, you know, the some even on our side, unfortunately, are saying, well, the fraud is isolated. It's not across the whole country. Yes, it is.
It is. When you look at these numbers, state to state to state,
right?
It's not like one state had a problem.
No. No. It's many states. Every single, what's coincidental, you know, use your air quotes and stick your finger down your throat. It's funny that every glitch, every question involving late votes, you know, mail-in votes, votes being delivered in the middle of the night, every single solitary one of them has gardened Biden's favor. They never find Republican ballots because, remember, there are no Republican ballots to find because those ballots were destroyed before the election.
You know,
remember all those videos that you and I put up?
Oh, I know it. Know it. It's staggering when you think about it. Folks, let me tell you statistically what it would be like to find these hundreds, plural, hundreds of thousands of ballots, all of them marked for Biden. Let's say you had a quarter and you flipped that quarter, say 300,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to come up tails every time.
Right.
Every time. Statistically, it's impossible to find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of votes. And not one of them was for President Trump. Not one.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me, and it stuck out to you too, and we both have the same video, and that is the guy marking off ballots in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. That was a security video from inside the where they were counting ballots.
Exactly. How can you say there's no voter fraud when you have it right on video? Really?
The guy is clearly just sitting there marking off, ticking off votes, and then he moves to the next ballot, ticks off some more. I mean, you look at that and you go, how many more times was that going on in different parts of the country?
Exactly.
You know? In Michigan and in Nevada and in Pennsylvania, there were places there where the poll workers would not allow poll watchers anywhere near what was going on. And by law, they have to. Right? I mean, by law, they have to allow them to watch.
Exactly. And they didn't.
You know, I've got two videos in my commentary that show these poll workers in various places. One of them is in Pennsylvania. The other is in Detroit, where the poll watchers were literally locked out of the room where the votes were being counted. And they were literally walking around the hallways demanding that the vote be stopped, that the counting be stopped.
Correct. Amazing, isn't it?
It's stunning.
It is.
It's just stunning when you, I mean. Now, the good news, Diane, I suppose, is that President Trump knew this was going to happen.
Yes, and he did.
If you think this legal team is starting from ground zero from last Tuesday night, think again.
Oh, no, they're not. And I will get into that on Friday. It goes back a couple of years. They were wise to this.
You know, we've mentioned a couple of times on the show tonight that Trey Gowdy has joined the legal team. I just thought of something.
Yeah.
And maybe you know the answer to this because of your geographic location on the planet. Has Pam Bondi joined the team? Is she part of this?
She has been part of the team, of Trump's team, legal team, for quite a while. Whether she's actually going to take part in this particular thing, I don't want to say yes or no, but I think she would be consulted no matter what.
She was part of the legal team fighting Trump's impeachment.
Yes. So I don't see why not.
She's brilliant.
Oh, Pam is brilliant. She really is. And she happens to be very nice also. And I really hope she is. I can find that out.
I'm just curious. It just dawned on me. I wonder if she's on the team. I mean, we know Rudy Giuliani is part of the team. You know, that's a guy who locked up the heads of five crime families in New York.
And made New York safe until de Blasio screwed up everything he did.
Pretty hard to intimidate Rudy Giuliani.
It is.
Jay Sekulow, who is not only a brilliant attorney, but he's a hell of a musician.
I've heard that.
Which doesn't mean anything in the context of this legal fight. But folks,
it's a side note.
Well, it is a side note. And if you have time and you care to do it, folks, you go to YouTube, you put in Jay Sekulow Band. Okay, and they do some brilliant cover work. I mean, it'll knock your socks off. You'll be amazed. But you got him, you got Rudy Giuliani, you got Trey Gowdy, the possibility of Pam Bondi. Mm-hmm. And you know there's a lot more, you know.
Yes.
But those are the big names that we know of right now, and I wouldn't want to be up against any of them.
No, I wouldn't want to be either.
I mean, can you imagine going up against any of them, much less all of them? Jeez.
And what's good is the same thing like with Pam Bondi and a few of the others. They're not elected officials. They could step out of the bounds a little bit where some can't. Let's put it that way.
Well, they don't have to worry about an election down the road.
Right.
You know, they don't have to worry about that kind of nonsense. They're not beholding to, you know, super PACs and that kind of thing. It gives them more latitude, I would think.
Well, I'll even go out on a limb here and say if by some chance Trump can pull this off and become the second term president, I would not be surprised if Pam Bondi was not tapped as AG.
You know, that could happen. There could be a lot of people to get tapped, you know, for some pretty high-ranking positions. Pam Bondi would make I think an excellent AG. I think Trey Gowdy would make an excellent AG.
But remember, he didn't. He said he was done with politics, but an appointed position might be a little different than politics.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would think it would be a lot different. And look, he's getting his feet wet again. He's on the legal team.
Yeah. He stayed away as long as he could, so maybe he's back.
I think he's just been chomping at the bit to get in this game.
I hope so.
I mean, think of it this way. Would Trey Gowdy get involved in this if he didn't think it was legit?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, but Craig, when you look at things, well, of course, you know, Trey Gowdy's beliefs, you know, absolutely. You can't question him on the legal matters. But you don't need to be a legal eye to see voter fraud was indeed committed. You can see it everywhere.
Yeah, and, you know, the legal end of it comes in proving it, you know, in proving that laws were broken.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, people like Trey Gowdy come in awful handy. He has never lost a federal case in his life.
No. You know who I would also like to see on that team, but I don't think as a serving senator he can be on it, is Ted Cruz.
You know, that thought had crossed my mind, but I think you're right. I think as a sitting senator, I don't think he's allowed to do that.
Because he's a constitutional authority.
But wasn't there a sitting congressman or two that were on the legal team when it came to the impeachment?
You know, that seems so long ago.
I've kind of forgotten
about all that with all this stuff that's going on.
But I mean, I'd say it was Jim Jordan, but I'm not positive.
It might have been Jim Jordan.
That's another guy you don't want to go up against.
No.
Holy crap. You know, there's a lot of people that would be good on this legal team. Ted Cruz certainly is one of them. But I don't think you can really do that as a senator. You know, this thing is going to eat up a month, a good month.
I'm hoping that some bombshells, I'm going to go into a couple of them on Friday, but I'm hoping some bombshells might
trim that time
fast frame. Track this, because remember, the electoral certifications happen in the first week of December. We're talking now 3 weeks.
Right.
So this has to kind of be fast tracked a bit.
Well, you're right, it does. It did take 37 days in 2000 to put Gore away.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of the...
And we're already 7 days out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the one-week anniversary of that which hasn't ended yet.
Correct. And what people also don't realize is... Please don't listen to the conspiracy crap.
Oh, am I glad you brought that up.
Because that is causing a lot of problems for President Trump. This conspiracy nonsense is getting out of hand.
You know, you're going to address a little bit of that on Friday night, and I won't get into any specifics. But
well, I'm not going to deal in any of the conspiracy crap.
No, you're not, but you know what I mean. But here's the thing, folks. There's all sorts of stuff out there on the internet.
Right.
Most of it probably incorrect.
Correct.
You know, but here's the problem. So many conservatives right now are so angry, they're so upset, and they want that instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're glomming onto anything that comes down the pike. Somebody will forward something, they'll share something, and somebody will see it, they'll like the headline, and bang, they hit that share button right away. They don't look into it, they don't research it. And see, that's the difference. You and I do research.
Oh my God, yes, my eyes get crossed with all the research.
You know, there was, I won't get into what it was, but there was something earlier today that Diane Skyped me on, and she said, have you heard about this? And I said, yeah. But I said, I don't really know that I believe it. And between the two of us, we spent a little bit of time, and we were able to debunk it.
Right.
But it's one of those things getting shared wildly.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to be careful of that, folks, because passing out misinformation now does more harm than it does good.
Well, it really does. And, you know, trust me on this, folks. There are people in the liberal swamp out there that are manufacturing this stuff in the hopes that we conservatives will share it everywhere and then make monkey's asses out of ourselves in the process.
Right, right.
Okay, and so be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, you really don't want to get involved with that stuff. We don't want to name certain groups, if you will, that are passing this around, certain nonsense. We'll give you a little hint. The watermark stuff that's going around is nonsense.
Yeah, and a lot of this stuff like that is mm-hmm. being presented in good faith by people who really hope that it's true.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, if you get this, somebody sends it to you in a message or you see it, you know, and you look at, you see the person who posted it up and you go, well, that's been one of my Facebook friends for a long time, so this must be true. You know, bear in mind that, that people on our side of this deal, on our side in this fight,
mm-hmm.
they want these things to be true. They really, really want them to be true because they're nails in the coffin. But right. also trust us when we tell you not every nail is able to be driven home, and there's plenty of real nails out there too.
Right. And there's plenty of ammunition that can be used and will be used by the legal teams. They don't need to be distracted with nonsense. Okay, you know, you've got, I don't know, do we dare say anything, Craig?
I know why you're hesitating. And
yeah.
I mean, just trust us on this, folks. Not everything you're going to see on social media that's in your feed is going to be reliable and verifiable.
Right.
Okay. Right. We do the research. We look into this stuff. If we can't verify it, we don't put it out there, period.
And we don't mean we verify by one source. No, we double and triple check everything that goes into our writings. Everything.
Now, for instance, today when we were checking on that thing that had to do with the watermark issue, mm-hmm. I found a fairly reliable source that's connected to it in some way.
Right.
And I sent a link to that reasonably reliable source over to Diane, and I said, here, check this out. Diane, what was that reasonably reliable source?
You mean, was it PolitiFacts? Oh, you mean the White House.
The reasonably reliable source.
Yeah, but what that reasonably reliable source, the White House, did was blow away the thing that was in question.
Right, right. So, you know, you got to look at some of these things with a grain of salt, people, and don't get fooled into sharing stuff just because you hope it's true, because you think it might be true, you know. Be careful.
And that's why President Trump has the people that he has on his team. These are people that put the conspiracies aside and look at cold, hard facts. The way to win this is with cold, hard facts and tangible proof. Yep. Alludings, conspiracies, whispers, that doesn't work. That doesn't work, not in this case. President Trump can still pull this off with facts. That's the main thing, with facts and with proof.
Now, we can tell you this much. In North Carolina today, the Republican was named the winner of the Senate race.
Right.
The Democrat conceded, and President Trump has won that state.
Yes. So he's no longer at 214. I can't remember offhand the electors from North Carolina. What is it, 12?
Something like that, 12 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah. So he's up now. But the whole thing is, right now, Biden is what, at 270, I think it is.
Well, supposedly.
If he loses Pennsylvania, he ain't president, no matter what AP and the Fox News and CNN say.
Well, you know, Arizona's been sent back to the gray category now.
Right. Nevada, I believe.
Nevada's back in the gray category, I think.
Georgia.
You know, so technically, even right now, he's no longer the presumptive winner of the election.
Right, but he's not saying it. He's too busy now writing up all his executive orders to do away with all the good President Trump did. He even announced today, or it might have even been last night, the first thing he's going to do is, you know, the mandatory masks, the do away with Trump's wonderful tax cut plan, put more stuff with Obamacare, and most importantly, pack the courts. But here, the Democrats aren't going to win because Joe Manchin has officially come out and said he will not vote with his party on packing the courts, nor will he vote with his party to end the filibuster.
That's important.
That's key. Even if, God forbid, we lost the Senate, that's still, even with Kamala Harris's vote, it doesn't go anywhere.
I think Republicans have a grip on the Senate now because of the North Carolina
right.
vote.
Well, they still have those two Georgia races.
Right. Runoff, you know, races.
Yeah, the runoffs in January. But I think this helped it quite a bit. We can lose one and still keep the House.
The Senate.
The Senate, I'm sorry. And right. still keep the Senate. Yeah.
You know, it's getting more interesting every day. And Diane, you and I, we're going through so many different sources right now. We're checking, double checking, triple checking information as we get it. You know, if this wasn't such a hair pulling, blood pressure rising situation, it would be fascinating.
It's right now, it's too scary to be even fascinating.
Yeah.
Because just think of it this way, folks. No more tax cuts, a 40% increase in your taxes, having to rip down your house for the Green New Deal to put in, you know, windows that are 2 inches by 2 inches all around. It just gets worse and worse when you think of what can happen. The oil industry being cut off, no fracking, no oil. The environmental, you know, the liberal environmental EPA running havoc over everything. Masks, 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 even in between bites of food. I mean, the ludicrousness of the Democrat Party will just go overboard with everything.
Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we won't right becoming a social, we won't be a socialist nation. We will be a laughing stock nation.
It's amazing when you think about it.
Yeah. You know?
So Friday, you've got kind of a follow-up to The Game Isn't Over Yet.
Correct.
With some really, really wild information, folks. You really don't want to miss Friday's show. Friday, I'm taking on Biden's call for unity.
Oh, you mean the same thing that when President Trump did it back in 2016, the Democrats, you know, went whole, ballistic on that thing?
Yeah, that thing. Oh, and speaking of hypocrisy, saw today that Biden's got some of his people now talking to foreign leaders. Isn't that what they came unglued at Michael Flynn for doing?
Absolutely.
I mean, it just kind of runs in my mind that 4 years ago they got their panties in a wad because Michael Flynn happened to say, hello, how are you, to the Russian ambassador at an event.
Right. But, Craig, you forget what's good for the Republicans. I mean, what's good for the Democrats is not necessarily good for the Republicans. How can you forget that?
My mind is going. I'm becoming Joe Biden.
You're too young to be Joe Biden.
I mean, it's just this whole thing. It has just devolved into such insanity at this point, which shows you just how desperate these liberals are to get some power.
Yes, all they want is power. And it's not just power, but with power comes perks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if Biden becomes the president, right?
Yes.
He'll have the only airplane that's allowed to fly. You know, I mean, they're not going to make a beast out of a Prius.
True.
You know, I mean, he's going to have the only car that guzzles gasoline.
True.
Trust me, folks, the presidential limo, the beast, does not get good mileage.
No, it doesn't.
Thing weighs 100 million tons. Can't possibly get good mileage.
True.
You know, I mean, they're gonna still do what they're not going to allow us to do.
Correct. And you know
damn well, if Biden care comes into being,
oh dear God,
the Senate and the House will be exempt from it. You know it.
Oh, of course.
You know it. Just like they were Obamacare.
That's true.
And get this. This is one of those funny little aside things. The guy on Biden's team that's basically in charge of Biden care and Medicaid for all, right? I can't think of the guy's name, but okay. He says that people, once they reach the age of 75, they're really of no use.
I heard that this morning. The man is 68 years old, and what he's basically saying is that when someone reaches 75, that's it. You don't give them medicine. You don't treat them. You just let them die. How dare he?
I've got a little something to say on that count.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Hello, Joe Biden. You're 78.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, this guy, he's working. He's working for a 78-year-old guy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you get to 75, it's over.
Right.
Okay.
That guy sounded, what he sounded like was a Hitler. But instead of picking on a religion or a race, he picked on whole segments of the population based on age.
kind of like Mengele did.
Yeah, in a
Joseph
way.
Joseph Mengele, yeah. I mean, look, the hypocrisy flows fluidly through the Biden camp. It has to. They can't possibly take a stand. They have no high ground.
Oh, none. You know? None.
But, you know, everybody's all upset because, oh, Joe Biden might become the president. Harris. Biden's not going to be there long enough to.
Not, let's say Biden is president. I predict that Biden will be out of office within a few months. He will either have a stroke, a heart attack, or Nancy Pelosi will invoke that 25th Amendment clause. And Kamala Harris will be president of the United States. If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what will. She is an avowed socialist. We know how she worked her way up in politics. And she's a friend to all the criminals out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm just telling you, folks. Harris is the one you got to keep an eye on here.
Yes.
Okay, she's in with the squad, you know.
Oh, she's probably the de facto leader of the squad.
Oh, man. Well, folks, look, what we want you to do is we want you to go to Diane's blog, okay, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go to mine, thenationalpatriot.com. Grab Diane's article, The Game Isn't Over Yet, and my article, Voter Fraud, A Time to Fight, and get both of those shared every single place you can. And then stand by for Friday night's show.
Yeah.
You do not want to miss Friday night's show. It's going to be a Donnybrook.
Yeah. There was one thing that I found out today that absolutely blew me away. And when I told Craig about it, it blew him away. And we'll put everything into perspective.
Not only that, we're going to talk about Joe Biden's call for unity on Friday. That's what I'm going to get into. And I know this probably comes as a shock to some people. It might be a little snarky.
Might be?
Might be. I might brush just up might. Against might. I might brush up against snarkiness.
Okay.
You know, it's possible. Okay. Possible. That's all I'm saying. Well, look, folks, day 7 of the election that will never end. That's today.
Right.
And, you know, once again, before we cut out for tonight, happy birthday to the Marine Corps and happy Veterans Day to each and every veteran in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Semper Fi, as they say.
Folks,
Semper Fi. Okay.
Yeah. If you're going to say it to Marines, say it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will jackhammer you into the ground if you mess up.
Nah, they wouldn't do that to me.
Don't.
They know I'm on their side. I'm just tired because between the investigative report and the one coming Friday, I haven't been away from my desk for maybe out of the whole entire day, a few hours to sleep, maybe 3 hours, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner time. That's it.
Yeah, it's been a thrill-packed week. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
A thrill-packed week. Well, Diane, I think it's time you and I just wrap this show up. What do you say?
Okay, and don't worry, guys. Pretty soon we'll be back to our two-hour format.
Say goodnight, Diane.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you Friday.